Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we again are going to be talking about this time some practical ways of developing your ability to hear God for yourself. Many of us know how to do this. We just don't do it. And so hopefully talking about it, and you're welcome to call in with your own experiences, will encourage each of us to keep going, but also encourage those who think they don't know how to do this to go ahead and try it. And what we're talking about are those practical things that we can all do and all pretty much have to do to learn to hear him, to develop our senses so that we can hear and see and experience what God is already doing in our lives. When we think about hearing God, we often think about him sort of like sitting in the corner, waiting for us to do something or be something or somehow qualify or be at the right place at the right time in order to experience him. But that's not him. That's not the way God does things. God is already active in your life, and you are already active in your life. Remember, you are a spirit being. If you have been enlivened by God, you are a spirit being. And as a spirit being, you have all the qualities and characteristics of God himself. You know his will for your life completely from start to finish. And you already have the power, the authority, all the equipping, everything you need to live that kingdom life now. We rule over ourselves and we reign over our circumstances. God has given you everything you need to do both of those. Our problem is that that's going on in our spirit, and our soul is often completely clueless. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And blocking your soul from your spirit are our three enemies: the world, our flesh, and the devil and his buddies. And so our goal is to remove, to overcome those enemies, so that our soul can be fully enjoying what our spirit is enjoying right now. It is your spirit who incites that longing within your soul to become one. That incompleteness, that dissatisfaction, that lack of contentment, it's coming from your spirit. God's satisfied and content with where you are right now. And I know that's contradictory to so much of what you've heard, but he's not at all concerned about the condition of your soul, because he already sees your end, your beginning, your middle, and everything in between, and has assigned to your spirit the task of bringing you into oneness. As far as he's concerned, you as a project, as his project, is done. So when we talk to him, it's not from a place of incompleteness or guilt or stress or trying to achieve or meet his standards. Instead, that's all happening between our soul and our spirit. Part of our problem is we live in our soul. We live in the soulical realm, in the supernatural realm. And that's not where our true nature lives. Your true nature as a spirit being lives in the spiritual realm, not the supernatural realm. So when we talk about what can we do and how do we pursue God, what we are really talking about is recognizing that he wants to be known as he is right now. And he wants to be known in your soul in the same way he's known in your spirit. And that desire to know him, if you have any inkling whatsoever that you want to hear from him, that you want to know him, that you want to know his will for your life, if you have any desire to do that, that right there is the guarantee that it's possible. Where could that desire come from? Would it come from the devil? The devil doesn't want you to know God. His buddies, his cronies, the critters that are all around us, they don't want you to know God. They don't want you to be able to hear him. They are going to keep you distracted as much as possible. That's the last thing they want you to do, is to have a closer relationship by being able to hear God in your soul. They're going to do everything they can. They're going to throw up every roadblock. So that desire doesn't come from them. How about the world system? Same thing. The world system, peer pressure, time pressure, the stress of your circumstances, your health, your relationships, your finances, all those circumstances, they have a life of their own. But they are overcome by your knowing God, by your hearing him, by being one with him, by your being freed and healed. Guess what? You're in a battle with the world system. And when you hear God, when you're able to hear him, the world loses. So it's definitely not the world system. It's not peer pressure. It's not stress. It's not the things of this world that want you to know God. Same thing as with the devil. The world system is going to throw up roadblocks. Your circumstances are going to throw up roadblocks. You may find it very difficult to find time to get to know him, to do the things. Those are all roadblocks that the world system throws up to keep you from knowing God. So if it's not the devil and it's not the world system that gives you that desire to know him, maybe it's the flesh. Maybe it's the crutches that you have developed over time in order to control your world. Now, again, the flesh, and the best way to think of your flesh is your crutches. Some of us have been rolling around in wheelchairs, and some of us have been on two crutches, and some of us have been on one. Some of us just have a cast on an arm or a leg. But whatever it is, you're relying on something. You're protected in an area that God wants to heal and remove that crutch. We all have it, and we're all developing it. We're all developing new crutches. Very often when we give up one crutch, we just find another. And God wants to remove all of our crutches, all of our braces, our casts, our splints, our wheelchairs. He wants to remove all those because we are complete in him and freed and healed. So our soul is in direct opposition to what God wants to do, because change is hard. Our soul doesn't want to give up its crutch. It's gotten very familiar. Once you learn how to walk with crutches, your muscles accommodate the crutch. You get used to walking on crutches so that when you, for instance, take off that cast, you still have to use the crutches because your muscles have atrophied. Your body has adjusted to the crutches. If you don't make an effort to relearn how to walk without crutches, if you don't make an effort to strengthen the muscles that have atrophied under the cast, you will always need the crutch. And that's where many of us are in our soul. We have gotten used to crutches that were appropriate for a time. But now that the healing has been accomplished, and the cast has been removed, we haven't let go of our crutches. And that's one of the things God is dealing with us about. But we don't like change. Change is hard. We like our crutches. We don't have to put that much energy into it. Our crutches get us sympathy. People open doors for us. Nobody requires as much because we are on crutches. It gives us an excuse to not pursue excellence, to not pursue ruling and reigning in our lives. So we don't want to give up our crutches. But God isn't going to let you live like that. You are a son of God. You aren't crippled. You aren't damaged goods. You aren't late. You didn't miss him. You aren't a mistake, and you're not making mistakes. You aren't a mistake. Your soul, you make mistakes, but that's not your spirit. That's not who you are. And just as when you were a little baby, you learned how to walk by first learning how to crawl, same as when you relearn how to walk after getting healed. It's going to be a path, a pattern. You're going to have to relearn to do some things. Now, for some of us, we grew up. In fact, probably all of us in some way, shape, or form grew up crippled, grew up on crutches, emotionally or physically, quite a variety of different ways. But we grew up thinking things about ourselves or others or God. And because those were not accurate beliefs, when God touches them, he's touching something, a belief that we have put our faith in, we have grown to rely on. Just as an example, if we have an idea about what heaven and hell are, and say a fear of hell has always motivated us to good behavior, and we thought that that was what God wanted, and if we could just get through this life without sinning big, then we'd be okay. And when God starts dealing with us about that's not what he had in mind for our lives here, if all your life you've been investing in just avoiding hell, you have a lot of wounds and misbeliefs to overcome and release. Maybe you made life choices. Maybe you made hurt people and were hurt yourself because of that belief. God wants to heal every one of those, but that process will almost always involve pain. It's a one-time pain, and it's a healing pain, but this is how we get to freedom and wholeness. We learn where our crutches are before God removes the crutches. And he gets to choose. God chooses himself where he does the healing, Now, fortunately, by the time he shows us an area that he wants to deal with, that he wants to free us, heal us, he's already done all the work. The Spirit of God and your spirit have joined already to orchestrate that healing within you. And now he's bringing it to the surface of your soul so that you can participate in the final chapters of the healing in that one area. Now, after that's done, you then have to relearn how to have a good relationship, how to have hope for your future, how to plan, how to change your expectations. And when you realize that your time here on earth is not about avoiding hell, or it's about learning to rule and reign now, when you start to see the importance of every opportunity in your life, that's when the excitement comes. And you aren't just dropping your crutches, but you're throwing them to the ground and are willing to fall over and over again as you first learn how to walk, then how to run, and finally, how to stand content with God. It's amazing how he draws us without us even knowing it. We have a sense of discontent, and we see that it's not from any of our enemies. It's not from our flesh. Your self-life, your crutches don't want to be removed. Your history has reinforced them as part of you. But God says, no, that's not you. I'm getting rid of it. And so we see that it's not the world system that gives you that desire to know God. It's not the devil and his buddies that give you that desire to know God. So then, if it's not our enemies that gave us that desire to know him, to hear him, to experience his presence, then where could it come from? Could that desire come from God himself? Absolutely. That's a guarantee. There's no other place it could come from. Now, let's think of that desire in terms of how your soul was created. Your soul originally was created to fit into your spirit. Think of when you plug in a lamp or an appliance. You plug it into a wall socket. That socket is already charged with electricity, and it's just waiting there. When you plug it in, you don't change the character of that electricity. You simply route it through the circuit in the electrical cord that activates whatever you've plugged in, the appliance, the lamp, the TV, whatever. It activates something that was created to run on electricity, and all that happens is you plug it in. And whatever it is works. Now, sometimes there's shorts in the circuit, and we'll deal with that some other time. But right now, all God is if you have any desire to know him, all that desire is an acknowledgement that you need to be plugged in. It's the challenge from your spirit to your soul to get plugged in, to access the electricity, the power, the life that is already available within you. That socket, that plug in your wall, that's your spirit. That's in the wall of your house. not in the cloud somewhere. It's already active in your house. And they're all over the place, aren't they? Those wall sockets. So wherever you are, you can plug in. Your soul, that's where its life is supposed to get, come from. That's what it was made for. Isn't it interesting that it's a perfect fit? You plug it in, it fits perfectly. And you even have those polarized sockets, so you plug it in correctly, and you get the right charge. Well, that's what our soul longs to do with our spirit. So we have a caller. Let's see if we can figure out how to work this. Area code 269. You're on the air. How you doing? Hello? Hello? Hi, who's this?
My name is Karen. I thought I lost you. Yes, I'm just tuning in to listen, to hear what you're saying about ourselves and the God within us. And there's decisions that I have to make, so I need some encouraging, so I thought I'd listen.
Great, and I hope you're being encouraged.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Do you have a specific question?
Well, I believe no matter what we go through, I've been in a place for about 10 years, but at this time in a ministry, at this time, I know it's God is putting in me to, it's time to move on. I know there's a time and season for things, and no matter how you try to make them work, sometimes they're just not going to work.
Right.
And, you know, and I think that this is my time to make a decision. I've heard from different avenues and different things, and I try my best, but it's like I'm not appreciative. I know God appreciates me. I know that. But sometimes it's good to be appreciated where you're at, you know, where you are. And I've done all I can do and sacrificed money and hours and my time, and yet I'm being belittled and different things, and I've taken it so long because I had low self-esteem. But now God is in my life full force. And, you know, when you're being taught to get rid of self-esteem, and then when you get rid of it, people don't receive you the same way. Either you're getting smart or you're disobedient or whatever, instead of seeing the God in you.
Right. Well, when you change, a lot of times it kind of confronts other people. And then they have a choice about whether to embrace change themselves or to reject it if they don't want to change. So let me just ask you a quick question. When you ask God about this change, what does he say?
Well, you know, I have a difficulty hearing God. So God, to me, speaks through other people. And when he speaks through other people, they're telling me the same thing. For instance, I moved into a place that belongs to the ministry, I'm on disability, and things are kind of tough for me, but I do outside work. I don't necessarily get paid for it, but I do it. And so I had been made promises that when this outside work comes, it has to do with the church, though, comes to pass, that money would be taken to pay my expenses.
Right.
And so they have not been, but yet they're telling me, okay, you can't afford this. You can't afford this. Who wants to live in a place and every week you hear that you can't afford it?
Right.
And I could afford it if they stuck to their promises and to their word. I could afford
it. Right.
So I'm to the place where, okay, God, you don't want me, I know you don't want me living in this situation. Every week I have to worry about, you know, how am I going to afford this? And when I first came here, I had only been here 4 days, and then they came to me with a $300 electric bill that I had to pay.
Wow. So here's a couple things going on. This is the way we approach things, is there are practical issues that you've mentioned and some relationship issues, and those are sort of like we kind of treat those separate from hearing from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where we start. And one of the goals I would encourage you to have, even for the next, you know, year or next time frame, is to be able to hear God clearly for yourself. Because hearing from others, just because they all agree, that doesn't mean that's going to give you the confidence that you need, that you are hearing from God for yourself. So it does sound like there's a lot of things that you want to look at, real practically speaking, as far as making lifestyle changes. But if that is separate from you wanting to be able to hear God for yourself, don't settle for only hearing from God through your circumstances or through other people. He will definitely use them. And he will use our circumstances and use other people. But when we have that notion, when we don't have the confidence that even if they're all saying one thing, if we are hearing God for ourselves and we have the confidence that we are hearing from him, there's going to be times when you're going to go against what everybody says and even against circumstances just because you have the confidence that you know how to hear him, how to test it, and then how to move on it.
I think I've learned how to test it. I've been here for 10 years, and the circumstances, I've learned and grown in God, more confident and things like that, but the circumstances here have not changed. They're still the same, and in my spirit.
Let's just use this opportunity to nail this down, okay? Let's frame your question, your quandary about your situation in a yes or no question. Let's just say, and you correct this question. I'm just going to frame it for you, start it out, and you finish it. You know, Lord, should I continue to be a part of this ministry in the current way I am? Should I make a change in this current ministry? Is that a good question to ask? Do you want to hear the answer from that? From the Lord?
That's a good question.
That's a yes or no question. And very often when we're first starting to hear from God, that's the best place to start. It's nice and simple. So I'm going to ask that question, but the Lord's going to tell you the answer, and it's going to be the first thing you hear. Okay, so I'm going to ask the question, and you just speak out whether you hear a yes or a no. Okay? So, Lord, we just ask right now that you let our sister know whether she is supposed to make a change from this ministry or if she is supposed to continue on in this ministry as she's been doing.
I hear yes.
Okay, so you're supposed to make a change.
Yeah, I hear yes, because I know God is about uplifting people's spirits, not telling them, oh, if you leave here, you're going to go down.
One of the things, what you'll want to then learn how to do is test, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually didn't frame, just for everybody's sake, I didn't frame that question correctly, okay, because I put an either or rather than a yes or no. So let's just redo that, okay? Lord, should our sister stay with this ministry? Are you getting a yes or a no?
I'm getting a no.
Okay, so let's test it. Lord, is that you? This is a yes or no question. Lord, is this you?
Yes.
Okay, so that's just the simplicity of the testing and the hearing. Okay, you now know that what you're sensing about what he wants to do is from him. Now you have to come up with a plan and a strategy.
Yes.
Okay, this is where the ball comes back into your hands.
Uh-huh.
You take a step at a time, checking with him, but it is your task. You rule over yourself, and you reign over your circumstances. Okay? We're running out of time, so thanks so much for calling in. And again, any time you want to call in, and also drop by our website at wecanprepare.org. It was great talking to you, and thanks for all for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.